How did you know that was a prom song for Joe? Was it?
I don't think so. I would hope we were a little cooler in our day. We played rock and roll mostly. A lot of slow Boston songs and stuff probably in the, at the prom, though.
Back in 1993, a dude named Vincent Dean Malachek was going to his high school prom with a chick named Stacy Ferguson. 15 years later, she became Fergie. And by the way, Vincent is also somewhat known as the guy who robbed a California grocery store wearing a Guitar Hero T-shirt. He just did this last month.
Yeah, he made the rounds.
Is there anyone out there who went to the prom with someone who went on to either really great or really terrible things? For example, maybe you went out to the prom with someone and it turns out that they robbed a California grocery store wearing a Guitar Hero T-shirt.
Did you go with a big winner or a big loser?
Or did they turn into Fergie? Well, the best call will win something. 1-800-252-1025. We'll start with Bill in Arlington. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Bob.
How's it going, Bill?
Excellent today. On the senior proms, my father took Judy Garland.
So not you, but your father.
Wow. My father did. And it's been a picture on his wall in his office as long as I can remember, as a little kid till now.
His prom picture with Judy Garland.
Yes. My dad went to the Gum family, whose real last name was, and when he went to the family and found out and invited her because she was on the school registry at his high school and was able to get a date with her and got her to the prom and went on from there.
Now, at the time, wasn't she? Now, she was already famous when he took
her. Oh, yeah, she was very famous. She was working since a young girl.
Right, she was like 4, so unless he took her when she was 2.
Well, they went to the family first because they knew the Gum family, and that's her real last name. And then they went to the family, and the family, because she was on the school registered at Santa Monica High School in Santa Monica, California.
So he stalked,
pretty much.
Figured out a way.
Right.
That's pretty aggressive. And he was like just a 17-year-old kid, and he said, I want to take Judy Garland to the prom.
Well, he was the school president at that time, and he went through the registry and found her name in it. And he took it from there, rolled through her family, and then the family set it up.
Now, wasn't Judy, like, hopped up on stuff or something back in that part of her career?
I don't think she was. I hope not. My dad never has said, and last year he passed away, so I really can't question him anymore on it.
All right, but you had to have asked your dad.
Yeah, well, he never said much about it. But I think she was probably a drinker then and always has been a drinker. So.
What year was the prom?
I don't know. I don't remember. He died in 87, so...
At 87, you said?
Yeah, at 87 years old last year, so.
Okay.
What are you getting to?
I'm just trying to figure out how old his dad was.
Oh.
Was born in...
I'm just trying to figure out if his dad ever told him was Judy Garland good or not.
Your dad was born in 1920?
Yeah.
Okay, and your dad went to prom in 1937?
Right.
She was already a major star. She was starring with Andy Rooney.
Yeah,
and all these different movies.
Right.
And,
I've got a copy of the picture in my home office, too, because it's something when he passed away, that was one of, they had a big picture of it at the funeral. In fact, that was one of the highlights of his life.
Thank you, Bill. It was your dad. Let's see if we can find a story that tops that. Hold on, Bill. 1-800-252-1025. We'll give him points because it's Judy Garland. That's pretty important. But does anybody think they've got a better story? Maybe it involves you personally. 1-800-252-1025. Yeah. Go to the prom with someone who went on to really great or really notorious things.
In 1937, Judy Garland was already, rumors, amphetamines in the morning, barbiturates at night.
No.
Yeah,
Dorothy like that.
That's true.
Not only is it true,
but when I asked him the question, he was like, she was pretty drunk.
It
wasn't hard to talk her into things, I imagine.
Poor kid was working, all day, all night, every day, every week.
Yeah, was probably an abused young child star.
Absolutely. She's made like 14 movies with Andy Rooney by that point of her career or something. I mean, imagine, it's a lot of time to go home. No, let's go. Let's go. Let's go to Nancy. Let's go to the beach. Let's go home. Let's go to the hills.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Yeah, anywhere.
1-800-252-1025. Mike is screening some calls now.
And I guess it could be any dance or, you know, dated in general. Homecoming dance counts.
That was... I love prom, though. I think specific to prom.
Okay.
I know that makes it less calls, Joe.
Right.
But prom conjures up.
Prom's
a quest.
And that's the big deal. Yeah. That's...
Here's Alan in Seattle. Alan, hello. Are you there, Alan?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I graduated with Quan Phi Willie Mack. You remember the name?
He's the, was it the WAMI guy?
WAMI Massacre. I knew you guys would remember who that
was. Oh, yeah. I used to buy my beer there when I was like 15 before that happened. There was more scrutiny after the massacre.
What is this?
Yeah. There was a grocery store with a gambling club in the back in the International District. And the most notorious, crime in Seattle history about.
Benjamin Ng and Quan Phi Willie Mack. Yeah.
So you didn't go to the prom with him like you and George Takei would, did you?
I didn't date the guy.
Go ahead, do George Takei going to the prom.
I'd like you to join me at the prom this weekend. We'd be going stag and stag.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's everybody wants to do George Takei.
Allow me to pin your corsage.
All right, Alan, thank you. It's got to be someone you went with. Hello.
He was at the prom.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Nancy in Silverdale, hello. Hi, Nancy. Oh, she had a really good call, too. It's probably a cell phone, Nancy. Call us back. This is tight. Only a few calls, and Mike is screening some of them out. Did anybody go to the prom with someone who was notorious for one reason or another, either good or bad? Nancy went to the prom with a guy who then held up a bank.
Oh.
Which I think if she calls back, that would beat My Dad Went with Judy Garland. As good as that story was.
Or I was at the same prom with the WAMI Massacre guy.
Yeah. So this is still up for grabs, folks. 1-800-252-1025. We'll be right back. Back in 1993, Vincent Dean Malachek went to the high school prom with a chick named Stacy Ferguson. She grew up to become Fergie. He grew up to become a guy who robbed a grocery store.
And she was already famous by then, too. Wasn't she on, like, Kids Incorporated or something?
She was on Kids Incorporated, and then she was in another girl group after that, but
I mean, she was already a star. Not the magnitude that she is today, but she's already someone of notoriety.
Did you win or lose the prom date lottery? 1-800-252-1025. Nancy is back. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
All right. You went to the prom with who?
Bob.
Bob, his name was?
Yes.
And what ended up happening with Bob?
Well, I didn't know Bob real well because he was a little bit older than me, and I wanted to go to the prom, so they talked me into going with him. And
how old were you, Nancy?
I was 16.
I want to picture you 16. All right, now you're 16.
So yeah. You were like a sophomore or junior. Bob was a senior and needed a date.
Right.
Okay.
So did anybody warn you about Bob?
No, nobody warned me about Bob.
All right, he just asked you out, and it was nice.
Okay. It was fine. Only date with Bob ever. But shortly after that...
Oh, no, don't get to the after first. Tell us how the prom was.
Boring.
What was your theme? what was the theme, Nancy?
You have to understand, it was a very small school.
Very small school, boring prom, band or DJ?
Band. But I couldn't tell you the name of the band.
Do you remember where Bob took you to dinner before?
Bob didn't take me to dinner before.
Nothing really? Like that. No limo, no corsage.
I did get a corsage, I believe. But
see,
no
the
limo.
Details will start
no
coming
limo.
Back.
No limo, no dinner, no.
And no afterwards.
No.
Nothing.
Peck right. on the or, cheek, at least?
Did he peck you on the cheek?
Probably not. I think I was like, you know, I got to take somebody and...
Right.
You know,
probably not.
Well,
Nancy's going to go with.
Yeah.
All right. So it was a very dull, very boring prom. But then, now you can get to afterwards.
Then he and one of my classmates, again, very small town, walked up to the drive-in window of the local bank and tried to hold it up.
Held up a bank.
Yeah. except it's kind of like, you know, if they had died, it would have been really a Darwin thing, because the girl at the window was the older sister of one of our classmates, and she's like, you guys don't want to do this. And they go, yeah, we do. And
she's like, I know you. This is Petticoat Junction. What the heck are you doing here?
I know you. And why are you holding up the bank? Right. Yeah.
And where's your hood?
Why are you trying to do it through a drive-through window? You're going to shoot something in the little tube, and then you'll send it to me through there, and then I'll have to
okay,
implant
so the dumbest,
myself?
So you went to the prom with the guy who turned out to be the dumbest bank robber in history.
Well, yeah, because then they walked like three stores down to the drugstore that had a soda fountain and sat at the soda fountain and had a Coke.
Mr. Gower's store? Wow.
Okay. Nancy, that's pretty good. I think that may be our best story yet, because I'm not going to count knew somebody as much as had the personal experience. So hang on, okay?
Okay. Well, this was 1968, so you can figure out what the motive was.
The war in Vietnam. Sure. Huh? Easy to figure out.
What the motive was? What does she mean by that?
To buy some weed, dude.
All right. Nancy, hang on. 1-800-252-1025. How did you do in the prom lottery? Did you win big or lose big? Jim in Mill Creek, hello.
Hi. My wife, this isn't me, but my wife, well, you know how kids sometimes they share a limo ride?
Right.
The prom? She shared a limo with the lead singer of Survivor, Dave Bickler.
So a third-person encounter with a Survivor band member.
Lead singer. That's interesting. Now, is there a story that goes along with that? I mean, did they vote people out of the limo one at a time, and one of them got to stay? How did that work?
No, it was just the thing that, she always, it's like her claim to fame, you know. And we actually went to a Survivor concert back when they reformed a couple years ago, and he just calls her by her first name. They're like on a first name basis.
Cool.
And like he's doing those Bud Light commercials now. That's him.
But it was her friend's date, not hers.
Yeah, they were doubling.
All right, good shot. Thank you. I think Nancy with the bank robber is still ahead.
First person.
Can anybody top that? 1-800-252-1025. How'd you do in the prom lottery? Michelle in Woodinville, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Michelle. Hey there. My prom date, well, let's see. I have a couple stories, but my prom date went on to run the Tilt-A-Whirl, and I almost forgot about this information. He stole my friend's car for a few days.
Prom date stole a car, but let's back up, because, this isn't any good without hearing about the prom and how it went.
Okay.
So you got invited to the prom by describing for us.
Well, actually, I invited him.
Really?
I don't think he finished school, so.
So you found a sort of a dropout guy, and you invited him to the prom, which must have thrilled your parents to no end.
Yeah. They were scared I was going to marry him.
Okay. Do you remember his name? First name only?
Do I have to say his name?
Name only.
All right, Dennis.
You could have made
Dennis
it up, by the way.
Dennis the carny who ran the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Okay.
Awesome.
So this was a big, he was a celebrity to you afterwards because he ran the Tilt-A-Whirl, but during the prom, did you have a great prom?
The car broke down.
Sure it did.
In a secluded area, I'm going to guess?
No, right on the Aurora Bridge, or right near it. Okay. And it was a Firebird.
It broke down. And did the two of you anything at all?
No, not at all. I was pretty pissed. I was in a really nice dress. He was in a white tux. And he had to fix the car in the white tux.
So you were ready for him, and the car got in the way, as opposed to the car breaking down usually being an excuse.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess, after the prom, I wasn't so upset. But, it was... It's just one thing after another.
One thing after another. You're sitting there in this great dress. You're dying for him to start undoing the dress, right? Like, that's what you sounded like.
Not at that moment. At that moment, I'm...
Oh, thank you, Mr. Censor.
Got it. All right. So then he turned out to be the guy running the Tilt-A-Whirl. Is that it, or does he go on to join the group Loverboy or something?
Well, no, that's afterward. That's when he stole my friend's car. He disappeared for about 2 or 3 days, She let him borrow the car, and he was gone. So, allegedly.
All right, pretty good story, Michelle. Thank you. These are weak.
Yeah, Carney, Carney Car Thief.
Come on now.
1-800-252-1025. Lyle in Seattle, hello. Who did best or worst in the prom lottery? Go ahead, Lyle.
Okay, this is what happened. This was 1976, and I played in a band, and I was playing at a Meadowdale High School dance, and a cute girl named Amy, beautiful girl, gave me her phone number, and I called her up. She wanted me to go to the prom with her.
Nice.
Okay, that's how it started. And then when I went to pick her up, I had a little of the spirits and knocked on the door, and Richard Nixon opened the door.
Oh!
Amy Nixon.
Amy Nixon, yeah.
By the way, Amy Nixon is the daughter of the president's brother, but the president was there.
You got it.
That's good, that's good.
Yeah.
So
what are your intentions with my niece?
But wait a minute. Nixon, who's all like downed on lewds and pain pills, opens the door and he smells alcohol on your breath. That's not good.
Yeah, it was absolutely a shock and stun, and I was worried that we'd have like CIA with us at the prom, and I was really uncomfortable. But she was a beautiful girl.
What year was this?
1976, the bicentennial year.
Oh, post-Watergate. An angry Nixon. Better Nixon.
This is Nixon afterwards. And now when he answered the door, he knew. By the way, I mean, they're intimidating you on purpose. If I'm President Nixon, I'll get the door. I'll put the fear of the Secret Service into him. Did he say anything to you?
Well, now you got to remember, Richard Nixon was not there. His brother answered the door, who looks just like Richard Nixon.
Oh, okay, so in your mind, it was Richard Nixon. But way to exaggerate, by the way. Yeah. I'm all for exaggerating.
Yeah, but the pictures on the walls, I mean, it was very clear to me that this was definitely the Nixon family.
And her name was Amy Nixon.
Amy Nixon.
What's the right word for this?
I know what you're gonna say.
Did you commit a break-in during the evening?
There a cover-up?
Had it been anybody else, the answer would be I would have tried.
You didn't even try because of her.
You got it.
All right, hang on, Lyle. That's a pretty good story. PJ in Olympia. Did you hit the prom lottery or did you lose the prom lottery? Which one?
Well, I dated a girl that 2 years later ended up being a Playboy Playmate.
Nice. So who was she at the time, and what were her hobbies and interests?
At the time, her name was Heather Larson.
Okay.
She grew up, and this is another part of the story. She grew up in a family that were firefighters in Denver, and later became one of the first women firefighters in the Denver Fire Department.
Mm, so she was the lady of the pole of sliding down.
Well, yeah. That's where it came from.
And so you asked her out, and so she's like, what, 17?
Actually, I didn't. Yeah, I asked her out. I mean, it was a given. We were dating at the time.
You were dating at the time.
Wow.
And you went to the prom, and I'm going to assume that things went well for you at the end of the night.
Oh, you know, that's a sad part of it. I'm one of those guys that was a 21-year-old virgin.
Not long enough to make a movie out of it, but still.
still not have a good time.
Yeah. So no, nothing like that. And then, oh, shoot, so you're still a virgin and she shows up in Playboy?
A couple of years later, I was traveling the country on a motorcycle, and I phoned home to see what was going on. And my family says, oh, my gosh, you have to look in the, I think it was a June or July, Playboy. Heather's spread all over the pages.
What year was that?
we can actually get her online.
68 is when I graduated. So 70, I think it was like 70 when she was a playmate.
All right, hang on, PJ. So now we have some contenders. We have Amy Nixon.
I got to go with Amy.
Daughter of the president's brother. Yeah. We have, I dated this girl 2 years later. She's a Playboy centerfold, and I'm still a virgin. And Deanna, you're the last crack at it. Go ahead, Deanna.
Hello?
Deanna?
Yes, hello?
All right, you're on. Did you hit the prom lottery?
Yeah, I think that I hit the prom lottery. I went to the prom with Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Corey Dillon, Washington Huskies. Franklin Quakers.
Okay.
Franklin Quakers. Okay, NFL star. Husky star.
Well, he is now.
How many years ago was this?
This was in
93.
Yes.
And you were how old?
I was 17.
Now, did you and Corey date after the prom?
No, he actually had a girlfriend that they broke up almost 5 months before the prom.
I'm having a problem here. Are you?
I am too.
What's that,
Joe?
What was your name again?
Deanna Washington.
Deanna.
Deanna, like Deanna.
Like Deanna, but D-I-O-N-N-A, Deanna.
Was Corey a pretty nice guy? Because he was a little bit of a head case for a while in the NFL.
Yeah, I would classify him as a a-hole.
I think she's telling the truth here. Yeah,
wow. Is it a she?
Yeah.
Oh, she has a deep voice.
Yeah,
so I was wondering.
Very masculine set of pipes there, my dear.
How was the prom with Corey?
Most of the time he was with the rest of his buddies from the football team.
During the prom?
Yeah, he might have spent maybe 20 minutes with me.
She's definitely real. She's definitely angry. And did he, now during the, later on in the evening, did he abandon you, or?
Yeah, he went with his buddies to a nightclub down by the Seattle Center.
All right, so that's a nasty prom. You were totally treated like crap.
Yeah, basically.
But you must have been hot, because he was like the best football player in the state. I bet you were like a trophy date for him.
Yeah, any time I could badmouth him, I was doing that.
Oh, good for you.
Okay, but can you describe your body for us at that time?
I still am 5'8". I'm 132 pounds. Uh-huh. Long brown hair, hazel eyes, light skin.
Very nice. All right, I'm at a loss. Hang on a second.
I'm looking at Mr. July. I'm looking at Mr. July 71. She's got all the goods on.
Well, we picked our winner. He's on the phone, PJ.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, all three of those were great. The daughter of Nixon's brother and looked like Richard Nixon at the door was a great story. The dated the football player was
Corey Dillon.
It was an amazing story, especially for the use of graphic descriptions. But the reason you won, and it's not just because it's a playmate. It's because Spike actually looked up the playmate, found her photo, the year you said, the name you said, and looking at that photo, and imagine you looking at it while you're still a virgin, that was priceless.
Yeah. So, and if you missed out on that, you've got to get something.
Yeah. So
after looking up the picture, I'll tell you something. At that age, I had bottle bottom glasses and was really geeky looking. So it was amazing to me that she was even dating me.
All right. Well, what we have for you is a $50 Ivers gift card.
Fantastic.
Which you'll enjoy. You know, it's their 70th anniversary at Ivers.
Oh, well, then let's make it 70.
All right. It's 50.
No, 50.
Do you have any big skills? Are you a great vocalist? Are you a very talented singer by any chance?
No. Actually, I'm starting a second career. I'm attending the university now to become a child psychologist.
Ah. Well, then you probably won't win their Ivers Idol contest, but they are having a contest.
They need somebody to sing like Ivor used to, don't they? Isn't that what they're doing?
Is it the Ivers Yodel contest? I thought it was the Ivers Idol contest.
Ivor was a great singer.
He was.
Oh, yeah. He was.
No.
I loved Ivor.
He was a prolific singer.
Hold on. Was he a singer?
Yeah.
He sang all the jingles.
Well,
you're
talking to a guy who went to Randy Newman last night, so my taste is subjective, but I liked Ivor.
Eric the Clams.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to move it.
When Tom McGrath, a local filmmaker, visited us 3 years ago to promote an animated film he had directed, we knew it was good, but I don't think anyone, including Tom himself, expected it to be $500 million good. That's how much Madagascar brought in at the box offices around the world, and that gave McGrath plenty of seed money to make Madagascar Escape to Africa, which several of our show members went out and saw and said, this blows away the original. In addition to his behind-the-scenes duties, Tom is also, in the movie, the voice of Skipper the Penguin, I understand he wrote himself an even bigger role. His
movie. Boy.
And he's got the voices of Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, David Schwimmer, and a host of other A-list stars returning as well. Tom McGrath, welcome back to the Bob Rivers Show. Congratulations.
Thank you for having me back. It's been great. It's been about 3.5 years, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so.
Now, were you, like, struggling before and now you're rich? Is that safe to say?
Super rich. $500 million.
I know.
You know, some of it goes to the studio. Probably about, you know, a couple
all of it.
100,000. But I get to pocket the rest.
Does that mean you'd be able to move back into Edmonds finally?
No, it's still too expensive.
Yeah.
Linwood's more my caliber.
Oh,
congratulations.
Talking. I love this.
Thank you for having me.
That's a yes, by the way. He's ripped. Now, a couple of things. First off, what you do, it's got to be one of the most fun jobs in the world. I mean, you're making a big-budget animated film. It's for both kids and adults. All of them are, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you really set out to entertain yourself. I mean, you can never, like, focus anything on kids. You have to, like, make yourself laugh, you know. But it's a great job, you know, working with Ben and Chris and Alec Baldwin and David Schwimmer. All those guys, you know, you record them, and it's like having the best seat in the house for a great, you know, comedy show.
And do they come in at different times? Do some of them come in together, or do they?
On this show, we had Ben and Chris come in together because they always wanted to work together, but they never got the chance on the first movie. And they, you know, they were bummed out that they couldn't, that they didn't know we recorded them separately.
So Ben Stiller and Chris Rock in a vocal booth together.
Yeah, and they were great. I mean, there's this whole crash landing sequence and some other scenes that they just totally ad-libbed and played off each other, which is a great experiment, and it seems like we should do it more often.
I was going to say, do you get more of a genuine vibe when the two actors are doing, because I know, like, you can coach them for the feel you want, and you can do amazing things that way, but when they're in the room together, it's almost like probably easier.
Yeah, it is, and they just totally feed off each other, and that's what actors do, you know. And Chris is you know, will want to top Ben, and then Ben will try and top Chris, or they'll play off each other, and it's really fun, you know.
Now, do you record your Skipper the Penguin lines all by yourself, and is that, like, weird because you're the director and you're the Penguin at the same time?
Well, I count on my partner too, and he kind of, like, gives me feedback, because when you're behind a mic, you don't really know how you come across, you know.
Trust me.
But it's an easy role. You just shout orders, you know.
You ever threaten yourself, threaten to fire yourself?
You're yeah.
Picking up the pace.
You! You're fired.
Are you more confident giving a guy like Chris Rock direction on the second movie? I mean, the first movie, Chris Rock's in a cartoon. He probably doesn't want to hear a lot about what you think of his performance. But then he sees how big that movie became. Is he more willing to listen to what you have to say?
Yeah, that's exactly how it worked. You know, it's a big leap of faith for these guys to come in and do this. They have no idea what they're getting into, what it's going to look like. And after the first movie, they go, oh, I get it. And, you know, and Chris's kids love that he's Marty. And they're saying, do Marty. And so he ends up having to go, it's crack-a-lack, and all his kids all the time. So they kind of like it. Jada likes being the hero.
It ended up being a good part of his life, which he wouldn't have known the first film.
Yeah.
Wow. And now, I don't want to say, but, I mean, you pay these guys pretty good, and it's pretty easy work for them because they come in and do a movie in a day instead of moving to someplace for a month, right?
Yeah, and they come in probably about 10 sessions during a 2-year period, you know.
Oh, so it's not all in one day then.
No.
And as you get, now, who's drawing these cartoons?
We have a story team that, you know, we put up the whole movie in comic book form, and then we record all the voices of all the actors. And then that's the luxury of animation. You can look at your movie, you can make changes, you can throw out entire sequences, start from the beginning, and that's why we keep going back to the actors and re-recording them through the years.
So, but I mean, are they drawing to the actual audio tracks?
Oh, the animation itself. We record all the voices beforehand.
Okay.
We actually, we tape with lipstick cameras the actors as they do it. And the animators take those little nuances in the performances, and they add them into the animation.
That's why the animated characters sometimes really remind you of the actor who's doing it, because their lips are doing similar things.
Yeah, and even like with Ben Stiller, you know, and we built this into the lion. Ben has this great little crinkle between his brows, you know, whenever he's distressed. And the animators wanted a tool to do that, so they actually built it into the lion model. You know, so they could animate kind of Ben.
And the actors, right? Now the actors don't mind that you make the face of the animal look a little more like them, or do they? Do they actually have any input? Like, do you have someone representing Chris Rock to make sure that you handle his cartoon drawing?
No, they're all great with it, and sometimes I don't even think they really notice how much it really looks like them, you know, in a way.
Like people and their pets.
Yeah, probably.
Right, Joe?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got a pug dog, and I pretty much, you know,
oh, no.
If he could talk,
yeah,
he would sound like me, I think. But the hippo never says, you're making me look a little too fat. Can you thin me down?
Yeah, well, Jada's like, you know, she weighs probably 100 pounds, and she's really petite and beautiful, and she plays an 800-pound hippo really well. But she's never said anything about her weight in the movie.
Well, Tom, I got to ask you this. Because you can tweak everything with doing animation, how do you know when the movie is done?
When the studio says you're out of time and money.
Yeah.
Basically, that's it. Really. Opens November.
I've heard that from several filmmakers. A movie is never finished. It is just taken away. Is that a pretty much true?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. You know.
Friday.
Tom Petty said the same thing about albums. He goes, if you let me to, I'd work on this for the rest of my life.
And we do, yeah. I mean, up to the last minute. And, you know, with Bernie Mac, you know, bless his soul, who passed away, I mean, we were working on his character up to the last few weeks of animation. It's like anything you can do to make it better or plus a scene or, you know, come up
okay,
with a
line. Okay, now, he's in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And posthumously. And now when you, God, when you're working on that, it must be kind of spooky.
Yeah, it's sad, you know, because he, you know, 50 isn't very old, and he's very young, you know, very young, and he added so much, and the role was a difficult one for us to cast because it's his father that, you know, is kind of judgmental of his son. It could be the great Santini if you miscast it, and, you know, Bernie had that warmth to his voice. It just made the role perfect.
And you had everything done that you needed done before he passed away.
Yeah, and we even went back in through all the recordings, but, you know, at the end of the movie, there's this little bit where he was singing, and he just did this little dance, and it was between the lines, and the tape was rolling, and we just thought, we have to get this in the movie.
So
towards the end, and he does.
So posthumously, you made some changes to the movie to further endear his character.
Yeah,
that's
because
nice.
It's just, you have so much gold with these guys, and so it really made us step back, look at what we had, and, you know, how to honor him in a way.
Now, the outtakes. It sounds like you could make a movie of outtakes if you wanted to, if the studio didn't take it away from you, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen will have, like, 10 minutes of comedy for each line, you know, that he improvises.
Have you been approached to do spin-offs of these for the other characters? I mean, the characters in this movie are so great.
Yeah,
and
actually.
Julian is so great.
Yeah, he is fantastic.
And I know you did the Christmas Caper with the Penguins, which I love.
Cool.
That's as favorite a Christmas movie of mine as Rudolph or Frosty.
Oh, right.
The Penguin
on.
Christmas Caper. If you haven't seen it,
I have not seen the Penguin.
It's an extra feature on the first Madagascar DVD.
All right.
And the penguins have to go rescue the private from Nana and Shoe. It is phenomenal. Phenomenally funny.
That was fun.
These guys see more cartoons than I do because my wife won't go with me and I don't have any little ones anymore. So.
Yeah, you want to borrow my 5-year-old. Yeah.
But I love the. And a lot of it, it's because, like, for example, in the first Madagascar movie, this hit me so hard. That there was this tension in the movie where some of the creatures were food and some of the creatures were supposed to eat them, but they weren't.
You're licking my butt.
Yeah.
And a nickel for every time I hear them.
And I was seriously intellectualizing that, which I know only adults would do. It's like, well, how can he go against the nature of his, you know, species? And do they eat each other in this movie?
No, there's no eating. We kind of went on to a new story, you know. And that's a hard one to do because it can be dark, especially for kids.
It was mildly dark, but you handled it so well. Give me just a little preview. I know these guys have already seen the advance of the movie. Give me and the audience who haven't a little preview about the setup for this movie.
Well, if you draw a line from Madagascar to New York City, you know, we just went, oh, they would land in the continent of Africa, you know, and wouldn't it be great if they met animals like themselves? So the story is really about Alex the lion. We see him as a cub. He's taken away from the reserve, away from his parents, and we see how he grows up in New York and becomes a star. And then they crash land in Africa, and it's really about him reuniting with his parents. And
so it's Lost. It's like the TV show Lost, only it's the animals.
Yeah, and they can never get back. And they find a hatch, which is really exciting.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of eating, which drive-thru is my kid going to be screaming for me to take her to get the Madagascar swag next month? Do you do a food
deal? Yeah, who'd you go with? Burger King, McDonald's?
McDonald's, I think, is
McDonald's.
Is with us.
It don't get bigger than that, my friend.
No, it's great. Right. You know, but there is a Penguins TV show that's going to come out in the spring that Nickelodeon's doing, and another Christmas special that's going to be
awesome.
Tom, would you? I mean, you're brilliant at this, obviously. Would you like to do a big budget live action film? Is that in your repertoire? Could you?
I don't know. I mean, It's interesting. I'm kind of familiar with how it works. You know, I did some live action, but animation is such a great medium, and anything you imagine, you can put up on the screen. And it's so wonderful to work in animation without having the pressures of a 100-day shoot or working on a set with all you're juggling 12 actors at once. And this way, you can really focus on the story and get your story right before you actually make the film. So I don't know. I unless there was something that was incredibly perfect for live action, I still love animation.
Well, let me ask you this. If you could make any animated movie that you wanted, what would your dream animated movie be?
Madagascar, Escape to Africa. I don't know.
Aside from that. Which the publicist always requires you to say.
I don't know. I think the sci-fi genre is something really interesting that really hasn't been... at least in a few years, really made into something really... Well, I guess there has been a...
Well, Space Monkeys wasn't all that.
Yeah, no, animated cool, sci-fi, is there's room for that. And that's the other thing. As animation gets better and better, we can... I walked by a video game the other day, and I said, that's a video game, and it was practically in 3D, and it looked so real that it was... on close look, it was animation. There's various styles of animation now. You could get animation that would look almost live.
Yeah, it's crazy how far it's come, you know. And when I went to school for animation, there's only two schools, one in the United States, one in Canada. And now there's 200 in the United States and so many different venues, video games, movies.
TV. Have you been to Madagascar?
No, there's a political coup going on.
You were supposed to go.
We were supposed to go.
No.
But we found out we didn't really need to because we wanted to. Yeah.
Because the animals actually eat each other there.
Bears, disease,
and you.
Things like that. But we wanted to make it Mysterious Island, this fantasy kind of island. And so, we kind of made up a lot of it because we took a lot of license there.
Is there a Cineplex in Madagascar, and did the movie play?
I think it did. I think they actually took the movie to Madagascar.
They got this all wrong.
Actually, no, there is a tribe in Madagascar, and it's the only movie they have, and they play it over and over again. If you went there, they would capture you and make you act out.
Be Simple Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always a pleasure. Tom McGrath, even more success on this one. The guys all said it was better than the first one. The first one was great. It was better. Madagascar, Escape to Africa. He's from here, folks. Local filmmaker Tom McGrath.
Thank you.
Much success.
I feel terrible about what I said to my daughter 2 days ago. About her future.
Don't
What'd
be a
you
hooker?
Say? No, I didn't
when
say that.
When
did
you start bringing some money into this house?
No.
Come on.
Hold on. Let's guess. What you said to your daughter 2 days ago about your future.
I said if you don't, she was...
I'm going to guess.
All right.
Knowing Joe, if you keep eating like your daddy does, you're going to have a weight problem. Is that it?
No, I would never.
Okay, that's not it.
That's...
You don't care if she gets fat. All right,
well,
Joe?
She's not. She's perfectly skinny and almost
But if she keeps eating
me.
Chicken tenders and ketchup.
Dinosaur chicken tenders.
They started
making... Real tomato ketchup.
All right, then from another
subject. They pulled a switcheroo on those, by the way. They're now whole grain, and she knows the difference. They tried to sneak some vitamins into those dinosaur chicken nuggets they sell.
Eric.
I would guess that you told her that she should give up her dreams of being an actress and should think about getting a real job instead.
Oh, no, I would never do that.
My dad had that conversation with me at this exact age. He told me I'd develop a drug problem if I decided to become a singer or actress.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
And you're kind of a singer-actress now.
No drug problem.
Well, you're not a successful singer-actress.
No, I'm not.
So once you get the drug problem, then I think you'll probably just...
Hey, she's making a good living, and she sings and acts as part of it. And plenty of people would kill to be her.
Or do drugs. You told your daughter if she didn't stay in school, she'd end up on the radio.
No, I wouldn't hold that over her head.
Mike Jones.
If she kept sleeping in mommy and daddy's bed, she'd never have a younger sibling.
Or she may have to watch one be made.
No. You want a brother or a sister, you got to go sleep in your own bed.
Thanks to Bandit, she now does. She's got a dog to sleep with, so they sleep in... He sleeps in his crate.
Oh, not in her bed.
Right, in the room. He goes to his crate. He gets his little bacon chew every night to get in the crate, and he sits there.
I like that. Okay.
Is that hell?
So give us a clue. You said something to your daughter about her future, and you feel bad about it.
She we're getting kind of a little homework resistant, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're piling it on a lot heavier.
All right, so if you don't do your homework,
you're going
to
wind
up to work at the Mustang Ranch someday.
No, I didn't go that far. I said you're going to wind up to be, and I had the little wheels going in my head. Well, what would affect her? What
fast food worker?
Close. I said if you don't sit here and learn this math, you're going to wind up being a dishwasher. So she. He immediately runs to Mommy to report that Daddy just said I'm going to grow up to be a dishwasher.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that's why I feel bad. Because
why do you feel bad?
It's a noble profession.
It's part of parenting to threaten children with mundane existences if they don't do something
that's
to
right.
make something
that's
of
right.
themselves.
And I tried to think, well, what does she really not like? She doesn't really like washing dishes. Maybe the thought of having to do that all her life would make her want to do her
homework. Wait a minute. She went and told on you for saying that.
Well, of course.
And did you go, I'm coming with you to brag right myself to my wife? Or did you whimper into the corner with a little politically correctness guilt trip? And back away from what you said.
Well, no, I didn't back away, but I realized that idle threats really isn't the way.
That's not an idle threat. That's the truth.
Well, I got a different system yesterday because what it comes down to is math homework, and I'm no better. I mean, I was a guy who shirked homework a lot.
If a nut falls from a tree, how far does it land in feet and inches?
Well, and I have a problem sometimes
not
correcting her homework. But what she has kind of started to do is she'll do her homework, but she doesn't really care if she gets the right answer or not. It's like, you know, okay, I'll just write down.
Yeah, I've put a number in there.
I put a number in there, I'm done. So yesterday I took her and I said, sweetie, this is what we're going to do. I said, I got a handful of pennies here. So do your math homework, and I'll correct it. And for every problem you get right, I'll put a penny over in this pile. And for every one of those pennies, that's a minute that will play any game you want when you're done. So, you know, she's got like 40 homework problems.
And is that working? That sounds pretty good, actually.
This is day one was yesterday. It worked great. We played basketball for 21 minutes when she was done.
She got 21 questions right.
Exactly.
Play real physical basketball, or did you play Wii basketball?
Oh, no, we played full court. She
but
ran
don't
me
forget,
up and
but
down.
But don't forget the guilt trip. It's an important part of a balanced upbringing.
Here, here.
I felt bad pulling it out, I'll tell you that.
I'm sorry. So much of the guilt trip gets turned around to be a real positive in your life, don't you think?
No.
You don't?
Really? No. I live my life based on guilt trips, and I would give it back in a second.
Ah, but you do so many things so well.
Well yeah.
Yeah, but it would
you
have been...
think you would do them so well if you didn't have... Look, nature, fear is important.
Eric?
Isn't fear important,
Eric? Do you have guilt? Do you ever feel guilt?
Now?
Ever.
Now?
Now.
No. Never.
See, I want to learn. I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah, but did you feel guilt before, and did you grow from that guilt?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Guilt is the best tool.
Give yourself a bell.
Guilt is the best tool this planet's ever come up with.
I don't feel guilt as much as I used to. I'm not like Eric. I can't shut it off.
Yeah.
But whenever I feel it, I know it's telling me something very useful.
Yeah, it could.
That you're being manipulated by somebody?
That's the usual thing, by the way, Brainiac. That is absolutely right.
No, that there's consequences.
But it's also usually that I'm not being who I really could be for maximum effectiveness. And also that I'm doing it to myself. Guilt tells me now. Now, that's a evolved guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I feel like I'm not good enough. That's where it starts. But you have to get over it. If you don't get over that I'm not good enough hump, where are you going to get your self-esteem from?
From people telling you how good you are?
But eventually you realize they're full of it. And that the only real confidence has to come from within you.
That's true. That's very true.
But still, I felt bad.
Dishwasher. And by the way, are there any dishwashers out there? If there are, they're like, you'll never listen to Joe again.
Hey, I spent a summer washing dishes, a whole summer.
Is there a career dishwasher listening who loves washing dishes?
One of those that's in the Chris Gregoire commercial, hey, I meet minimum wage and I'm 50 years old. And
is there a dishwasher that works at a restaurant Joe goes to and might spit on Joe's plate tonight for slamming the career dishwasher.
Yeah, I would never go to another restaurant really? Ever again after I said that.
Dishwasher is noble. It's an entry level.
What other
thing,
professions though? Do you look down on?
I don't look. I was
in
just,
real America.
See, I was.
Oh, Joe.
I was
pro America there, Joey. Pro America.
I was struggling to find something she could relate to, and
that she hated.
Yeah, she's not big on doing the dishes.
We have two dishwashers on the phone, Joe.
Uh-oh.
Hey. Joe said, Joe felt bad because he threatened his daughter, if you don't do your homework and learn some stuff at school, you're going to be stuck being a dishwasher all your life. And we have two. Ken in Gig Harbor is dishwasher number one. Ken, hello.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, hi. How's it going?
I'm doing fine. I've been a dishwasher down here at Gig Harbor for a long time, and I was listening to your comment about minimum wage, and I'm still minimum wage down here, and it's been a while. So.
Well, I apologize if I offended your profession, Ken.
So, but I don't mind what the work that I do, but it's been a while.
Been a while, and you don't make more money. Joe was saying he was apologizing if he offended you.
Oh, okay.
By using dishwashers as an example to his daughter.
Okay.
Well, meaningless, pointless, going nowhere.
Did you feel offended when you heard it?
No, not really.
How far did you go in school, Ken?
How far?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember now. So.
Did you graduate college with a degree?
No, I started... Started my first job back in 1978.
Dishwashing.
Uh-huh.
All right. And you've been a dishwasher your whole life?
No. I've been doing that for the last 10 years here.
10 years only.
10 years.
Okay.
Are you good at math?
Say again?
I'm just building the case here for a home. Are you good at math?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Ken, thank you for not being offended. Dishwasher number two is John. John, hello.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. Let me begin by saying that the Twisted Tune Busboy is one of my favorites.
Busboy. All right.
Should we do, I'm a dishwasher, I'm a dishwasher, wash some plates, go by, my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a dishwasher, and I make about $10 an hour. I'm making more than some of the entry-level cooks right now.
You eat well, don't you?
Well, yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. Yeah, it's not that bad of a job. It's kind of difficult, and it's really hot in the summertime and really cold in the wintertime.
So when Joe said to his daughter, if you don't study, you're going to end up a dishwasher, did that bother
you? I don't mind. I mean, it's a decent living.
Dishwashers are a resilient people.
Yeah, they're
and they have the softest hands.
Mm.
Yeah, we do.
You're not easily offended, are you?
No, not really.
Now, how far did you go in school, and how good were you at math?
Well, I went to a two-year college, and I'm pretty good at math, but some people aren't, I guess.
Do you like your life?
I'm happy with it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't say to yourself, like, some people are career-driven.
Right.
Some people really actually go to work, make their enough to eat, go home, and then their life is their family and friends and the people they love.
That's pretty much it right now. I'm taking care of my mom. She is 83 years old, and she has dementia, so that's my full-time job right now.
And your work is very defined. There's a pile of dirty dishes, and you clean them, and
you're going to go home and tell your daughter that if she wants to be a dishwasher, it's okay, because you met a couple today, and they're really nice
people?
Well,
I would love my daughter no matter what. And
I would love her no matter what. You didn't say that about the Mustang Ranch, though.
How do you define a good day at work as opposed to a bad? I mean, if like, no broken dishes is a good day, or?
I hardly ever broke any dishes, but a good day is when you come in on your shift, if the person before you wasn't so dang lazy that they left you a whole pile, that would be a good day.
Yeah, if I'm going to be a dishwasher, I'm going to wash only my dishes. I'm not going to wash someone else's dishes that they didn't do. All right. John, thank you very much. And John, by the way, I don't know if you noticed his name. John Washburn.
Yeah, wow. I'm from Washburn.
Yeah, careful, that water might be hot.
Good one!
Yes, you are correct, sir.